was born that night when Jesus came. Next week, the power team will be here, and his message is called A Message of Hope. Amen? And then the following week, on Sunday morning, Christmas Day, our message will be simply called Hope Was Born That Night. My wife came across this. Somebody sent it to her. It was in her files or something. I don't know. But it said, out of the silence, music. Out of the darkness, light. Out of uncertainty, promise. Hope was born that night. And she showed it to me some months ago, and she said, this is just beautiful. I think we could do something, or you could do something on Christmas with this. And so you got the little cards last week, right? Amen? How many took a little plan or something like that, a little card, and you gave it to somebody? Can I see your hand? Look at that. Isn't that fantastic? Praise the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. Try to invite people. Try to get people out of church. Try to share the message of Jesus Christ with people. So today, we're going to look at our first message in this little brief Christmas series called Hope Was Born That Night. I guess today I thought I would try to deal with those first three lines. Out of the silence, darkness. So let's keep going, Rod, and see what we got. Silence. Can you say that with me? Help me now. Silence. Silence. All right, here we go. Silence. Let's look at it. Let's go. It had been over 400 years since the last prophetic word from God had been spoken by the prophet Malachi. You need to realize that when you have your Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You've got Malachi. Remember we did Majoring on the Minors, talk about Malachi, remember that? 400 years or a little over 400 years transpired between that and the coming of Jesus Christ when he was born in Bethlehem. That was a period of silence, okay? 400 plus years of silence. God was not speaking. What happened? Now, I'll do a little history with you if you don't mind. Let's take a look back in history over those 400 years of silence. You know what? When you become a Christian, you don't drop your brain off, okay? People that think, well, you just believe that Bible, man, so it ain't real or whatever. That is so ignorant and dumb. The Bible has been proven time and time and time and time and time again, and you need to have faith in the Word of God for crying out loud, okay? And let's look at it. Let's look at history today and see what history says, okay? What happened during this period? From 430 to 4 B.C., and we're going to fly, Raj. Judea was under the rule of Persia. That's modern-day Iran. He popped a map up here for us. All that creamy-looking color there, that beige-looking color, was what was under the rule of Persia. And so for about 100 years or so, Judea, that is Jerusalem, that is Israel, that part of the world, as well as a lot of other parts of the world, was under the rule of Persia. Okay? So what... Basically, we don't have a whole lot of history about that era, about Jerusalem. I mean, you can find some things, but suffice it to say, that's what was happening. Now, let's keep moving. 330 B.C., Alexander the Great, commander of the Greek army, invaded Palestine. How many have heard of Alexander the Great? Okay? You see what I'm saying? Now, I remember that dude. Just made a movie about him. I guess it flopped, but anyway, they did make a movie. Alexander the Great. The great leader, what happened when he came in and conquered Palestine? He spared Jerusalem. It means he didn't destroy it to pieces. He spared Jerusalem. And keep moving. This area remained fairly peaceful until about 170 B.C. So even though the great commander of the Greeks conquered all over the world, Jerusalem was primarily spared, and things were, I ain't saying it was hunky-dory rosy or nothing, but at least, you know, it was relatively peaceful until about 170 B.C. So stay awake with me here, okay? History time. Let's keep looking. Well, then something happened. After, you can study this and check it out, but after Alexander the Great, his kingdom was split up into four great kingdoms, and time passed. But in 168 B.C., a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes came on the scene, and he ruled, and he devastated Jerusalem, and he desecrated the temple. This is actually a coin that Roger found on the internet of Antiochus Epiphanes, okay? See that man Hitler? When Hitler came along, a lot of people thought he was the reincarnation of Antiochus Epiphanes. Both of them were pre-runners of the Antichrist. They hated the Jews. And this is what the Jews were going through. It was horrible. They were being murdered and slaughtered. And Antiochus Epiphanes offered a pig on the altar in the temple just because he hated their guts. That's what was happening in that period of silence. Let's see else what happened. Here's the good news, though. Did you know good things can happen out of bad situations? Say, could you say that one? Good things can happen out of bad situations. If you're the kind of person that you just always good. Listen, let me tell you something. That ain't even realistic. Bad stuff's going to happen. It's up to you and the power of the Holy Spirit in you and faith in Jesus Christ if you're going to plow through it. Amen? And you can achieve and you can be triumphant in your life. It's not always going to be rosy. This was a horrible time in Jewish history, but guess what happened? This guy, it was just unbelievable. You can read all about this. This is where the Maccabees came into play and all that stuff. Jerusalem was conquered by a band of loyal Jews under the leadership of a priest named Matthias and his five sons. And you can read event after event after event where it was just miraculous that this little ragtag band of priests and his boys, come on, for crying out loud, would defeat the invading armies. It's crazy. But they did it. And God helped them. And especially Matthias had one son. His name was Judah. And he was a mighty conqueror. Let's see what happened. Keep moving. For about 100 years, they governed as an independent nation. And that's where you see the Festival of the Lights and Hanukkah and stuff like that. That comes from that time period where they're celebrating. Okay? The miraculous feats of God, what God did for them. So that was 167 B.C. Now let's move forward a little bit more to about 63. About 100 years passed, and Jerusalem was conquered by Pompey. Okay? Pompey, actually, it's said, history tells us, that he heard of the temple in Jerusalem and heard that this was a place where only priests could enter. And so Pompey, he went into the temple, he entered the temple and went into the Holy of Holies. Didn't touch anything. But he went into that area, and the Jews, obviously, hated his guts. Hated the Romans for what they were doing. And they had invaded this area. I'm trying to give you the gist of what was happening. Those 400 years of silence. What was going on? God wasn't speaking. Boy, it looked like God was really speaking big time loud. It looked like they were going to bring the Messiah in under Matthias and the five priests until, Pompey came. And Jerusalem was conquered. Let's keep moving. This is going to ring a bell a little bit for us. Let's get a little closer to home here. In 37 B.C., a man named Herod was appointed to be ruler over Judea. And we've heard of Herod in the Bible. He rebuilt the temple for the Jews to gain favor from them. He didn't care about it. He just did it as a political favor, as a shenanigan. Secondly, he was a cruel and brutal man. He was a horrible man. I've been to the Holy Land many times, and if you go to the Holy Land, you study a lot about Herod, whether you want to or not. And you go down to Masada and his palaces and different places that he had. He was a cruel and brutal man. It was this man that ordered the murder of all the children under the age of 2 when Jesus Christ was born. So, horrible man. Now let's keep moving, Raj. We're making some ground now. This was the world into which Jesus came. Do you understand? Say, this is the world into which Jesus came. Under Roman rule. This is what had happened. You know, it was pretty. It was looking a lot better about 75 years before Jesus came, under Matthias and his sons that were ruling and what have you. It looked a lot better. But this was a horrible world into which our Savior came. Let's keep moving. During the 400 years of silence from the prophets of God, stuff was happening. All right? Stuff was happening. None of this takes God by surprise. And your life doesn't take God by surprise. What's happening today doesn't take God by surprise. God was silent. I guess he's up there not doing anything. Oh, no. He was doing a lot of stuff. Let's see what was happening during this 400 years. Synagogues were founded. Big deal. What synagogues? The fact that synagogues were founded, that's why you and I meet like we meet today. You think people have been meeting like this throughout history? Uh-uh. This is a unique thing that was established during those 400 years of silence. What am I talking about? Small groups getting together and meeting and talking about God. Do you understand? That's a good thing, ain't it? Let's see what else happened. Pharisees originated during this time. Let's find a little bit about the Pharisees. They were dedicated to preserving national integrity. Obviously, the Jews had been split all over the place, and it was a mess. And so they were dedicated to preserving that national integrity. Also, they strictly conformed to the law of Moses. That was their thing. We've got to get back to the law of Moses. Then next, they developed into self-righteous hypocrites. That's what we know them as in the New Testament. Right or wrong? Yes? That's what they were. We call somebody today a what? We call them, if they're a self-righteous pig, we call them a what? A Pharisee. That's what we call them. Came back from this time. 400 years, God wasn't speaking. Can you imagine what he must have been like? All of a sudden, you got angels talking. You know what I'm saying? You got angels talking to Zacharias. You got angels talking to Mary. You got angels talking to Joseph. You got angels talking to the shepherds. You got angels talking to the wise men. The silence was broken. Let's see, is there any scriptures there, Raj? Listen to the sound of music. Ah! Praise the Lord. Amen. We might lose it in a heartbeat, but we're going for it. I like that old-fashioned program. Amen. Here we go. Let's look at it. To Zacharias, the silence was broken. The sound of music broke forth. Look at what he said. This was about John coming. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw it, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. Thou shalt call his name John. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Listen, look, the sound of music to Mary. God wasn't speaking and now he's talking again. Have you been there before in your life, say, where you couldn't hear God? Say, you just were disconnected. Maybe sin in your life is usually what causes the disconnect. And you're just not hearing, and you know how good it feels again to pray and to be on talking terms. And when you read the Bible, things come alive again. I've been there before. To Mary, listen, here's what was being said. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The silence was broken. God was beginning to speak again. And that's what Jesus Christ can do for you today, friend. He can take an old drab, silent life that just seems to be going absolutely nowhere. Listen to me. He can speak into your spirit and you can live again. You can sing again. I'm telling you, I'm a witness today that Jesus Christ can put a song in your life. Amen? And you're a witness today that he can do that. Mary, and then to Joseph. Let's see what the angel said to Joseph. God started speaking again. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived inside of her is of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so here we go. And she said, She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's look at a couple others they were speaking to. God started speaking through these angels again to these people. Luke 2, the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then to the wise men, God was speaking. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that's born, king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down, they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense. And myrrh. Out of silence came music. Amen. I mean, I don't think we can truly understand that for 400 years they hadn't heard from God. What a wake-up call, amen. What glorious good news they're hearing from him again, and they're hearing about Jesus Christ, his only Son that's coming. Let's keep moving. The second little phrase this morning, out of darkness, light. Can you say that with me? Help me. I need encouragement this morning. Out of darkness, light. Out of darkness came light. Let's look at some things. This was a dark period. This was a dark period. The Pharisees were ruling. How would you like it? If when you went to synagogue, you knew the person talking to you is a sham, he's a fraud, he's a fake, he's a thief. Say, did you like that or not, huh? I wouldn't go to church like that. As a matter of fact, that ain't what we have here. And if we ever have this, let's just quit. Amen? Let's just stop. We need to be real. We need to be honest when we do things. But this is the kind of world that Jesus came into. A sham. It was so dark. It was so cold. People were so probably turned off. Rome ruled them. It looked like the Messiah was coming under Matthias and the five sons in 100 years. Great. But then the Romans rolled into town. It was a horrible time. Darkness. But watch this, Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Read this with me, will you? Read this verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Out of darkness came light when Jesus Christ came. Let's look at some other scriptures, Raj, up here this morning. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. How about say verse 4 with me? In Him was life. And the life was the life of men. Hallelujah. Amen. Out of darkness came light. And Jesus is still in that same kind of business today, friend. If you're here today, I said it before, if your life is silent, He can bring music to it. If your life is dark, He can bring light to it. And all I can do is tell you what He did for me. He did that in my life. He's not a respecter of persons. The Bible says that. He can do it in your life. He can bring light into your life. He did during this dark period of time. John 8:12, Jesus said unto them, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's what Jesus gave when He came. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He shined in our hearts, hallelujah, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The fact that you know Jesus today as your Savior, and that I know Him, it because I'm a great Christian. The fact that I know Him is because, thank God, His Word was preached, the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart, and as a sinner, I responded back and said, I'm a sinner and I accept you as my Savior. I can take no credit. You can't take it. He did it all. He's the light of the world. 2 Peter 1:19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and, hallelujah, the day star rise in your heart. Do you know the Lord today? Is your life still silent? Is it dark, or is there music and light? And then finally, out of uncertainty came promise. A couple of statements I think we might have there. I've got to think that the Jewish people must have been saying, will Messiah ever come? You know, it looked good under Matthias, looked good, looked like things were going to turn the tide. We whooped old Antiochus's rear end, you know? But then the Romans came. Would he ever come? I thought that perhaps the Jews were saying this, Raj. What about the sand of the sea and stars in the heavens stuff? What did God tell Abraham? He said, you're going to be like what? Your people's going to be like the sand of the seas and the stars in the heaven. But this was an uncertain time for them. It didn't look good at all. But I want to tell you something. Out of uncertainty came promise. Let's look at it. Aren't you glad? I mean, really, think about it. The Jews were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting someone not to come as a babe and then to be sacrificed as a lamb on a cross. They were expecting someone to come in as a conqueror. But aren't you glad God had another plan in mind? Amen? Amen. I mean, God loves the Jewish people, and we love the Jewish people. That's through whom we got our Savior. Amen? Praise the Lord. But I tell you what, God doesn't just love the Jews. Aren't you glad? Amen? Aren't you glad that He loves heathen folk like us? Amen? Aren't you glad for that? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Just because He was silent doesn't mean that He didn't have His plan together. As some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. That's why Jesus came this way, because He's not willing that any of you should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves you today, and out of uncertainty can come promise in your life today. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, watch it, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then finally, verse 15, for this cause He's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Out of uncertainty came promise. I think we have another scripture or two. 1 John, and this is the promise that He's promised us, even eternal life. That's what we have in Christ. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. There's still seducers out there today that teach another gospel other than that Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. Anybody teaches any other gospel is accursed, the Bible says. This is what we're to believe. But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. You need not that any man teach you, but it's the same anointing teaches you for all things, that and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Anyway, wow. Let's go to something I know. Okay, pop that on the screen. I know that right there. All the screen might mess up and the computer might mess up. But let me tell you something, friend. On that day, December 18th, 1977, out of silence came music in my life. Out of darkness came light. Out of uncertainty came promise. I never sang before I was a Christian. Some of you don't think I sing well now, which is probably a good opinion. However, you cannot argue that Gary Clark sings. Amen? You cannot argue with me on that. And I tell you what, before Jesus Christ came into my life, I never sang. He put a song in my heart. Let me tell you, my life, my world was bleak. My mother living with another man, a different one that she had been living with another man down the hall. My brother Terry would drive 30 miles to get me on the weekend just to try to get me out of that situation. That's the world I lived in. It was a broken home and a broken life. But on December 18, 1977, hallelujah, little church called Temple Baptist Church, we heard the gospel for the third time. And both my mother, who was a drunk, and I received Christ as our Savior. I tell you what, and God put a song in my heart. Out of silence came music. Has that happened in your life or not? Come on, be honest. Has it happened? Has it come into your life? Listen, I'm not saying, are you perfect? I didn't ask that question. But has out of that silence, out of your darkness, out of your sin, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I got a date, baby. Are you hearing me say it? Well, I don't have to have a date. Well, you might not have to have one. I sure am glad I got one. I know I'm saved because I was there when it happened. Amen? You ought to know that you know today. Silence became music. Darkness became light. Things I used to say, I certainly haven't arrived. But I tell you what, the way I used to think about life, the way I used to think I was evolved or whatever, I tell you, out of all that darkness came glorious light. Are you hearing me today?
Amen.
That's what being a Christian is. And a lot of you are identifying with me. Darkness became light in my life. And I started living. And I started breathing. And knowing there's a God in heaven that loves me. Wow. December 18, 1977, uncertainty became promise. If you'd asked me at 15 and a half, Gary, what are you going to do with your life? Do you have any clue? I don't think I could have said anything. If you'd asked me and probed me very much, I'd probably got mad, fought you. But I just had no hope. I had no purpose in my life. None at all. But I tell you what, out of that, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I got promise and I got purpose in my life. And some people might not like me or like what I do. But I guess what? You can't argue with this fact. Old Clark's got purpose in his life. Amen? Whether people like Fellowship Church in this town or not, one thing's for dang sure. Listen to me. That there is one, amen, and that we're, and everything is within me. I'm trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell people about the Lord. I want to see us grow a church. I want to see people saved and grow in the Lord. I want to see us encourage people. I have purpose in my life, and that's just on the church side, amen?
Amen.
Jesus gave me that. I didn't have that. Do you have purpose today? You can get it. You can get it today. I'm done. I got a hush. But are you saved today? Look at this. Today is December what? 11th? Boy, wouldn't it be nice if some of you today could put December the 11th, 2005 on a little piece of paper on a chalkboard or on your fridge? Shoot, we'll put it up on a big screen for you, all right? Do you know the Lord? Do you know that you know that you know? Quit playing games. Do you know Christ? Out of silence can come music. Out of darkness can come light. Out of uncertainty can come promise in your life today. Do you know? Let's stand together. Thank you so much.